You're listening to the Call Me Mr. You, the podcast, your new home for inspiration, family, sports conversations, and a lot of other stuff. We're your all-purpose pod for an all-purpose life and your weekly mirror check before you go change the world, baby. Enjoy the show. Hi, I'm your host, Mr. You. Please enjoy this brief perspective specifically for your ears today. A few minutes of your time just might change your mind. We're keeping it all the way short. Against all odds. Every once in a while, we'll have some episodes where we reference movies and TV shows and things of popular culture. But I want you to stay locked in here. This is a short episode today of the Call Me Mr. You, the podcast. But I want you to catch this very important point. Against All Odds is the name of the episode, if you're keeping track. But it's the title of a movie from the early 80s. It eventually became a model for an era. Not really talking about the movie per se. It's a kind of going a different direction for us. But no matter what the obstacles are that stacked against you, you will overcome. That was the model for the era that we were in at that time. Honestly, I don't know if most people even believe that anymore, to be honest with you. We see a molehill nowadays, and we treat it like a mountain and turn away from it rather than climb it. Do you remember the cinematic series, The Hunger Games? Right before these children were sent out into what could result in their deaths, the organizer of this life and death challenge would bless them, if you want to call it that, by saying, "May the odds ever be in your favor." Ah, sounds great on the big screen, but no one mentioned how the games were often rigged or constructed to favor a specific skill set or the organization or the powers that be. The odds were really in their favor because it was in the benefit of the powers that be to have this method, to exercise this power and dominance over a people as a whole. I ain't trying to be Debbie Downer or nothing like that, but the odds are never in most people's favor. Can we be honest about that? If you wear rose-colored glasses, you can't see what I'm talking about. You have to benefit from the system to have that kind of leverage in most people's lives, nationally and worldwide. Otherwise, you have to work, fight, outthink others, stay consistent to even ensure that you have a chance to achieve your goals. I'm going to tell you a really short story. God called upon a young man who was considered the least of his tribe. He was at the bottom of the barrel in every conceivable way that you could imagine, but God called him anyway. He called him to be a leader of a nation and to destroy the nation's enemies. He started off with 22,000 men, which because of fear of battle was reduced to 10,000 men. God gave him the assignment, but said to him that 10,000 men was too much. Kind of strange because their adversaries had over 135,000 soldiers, but 10,000 men was too much. Surely God must have made a mistake here, right? But God doesn't make mistakes and he's not bad at math. God gave him the assignment and said the 10,000 men that this young man was assembling was too many. So through the process of time, the herd was thinned out even more through fear or maybe even a lack of commitment to the nation and the goal of fighting for this country. Eventually, that 10,000 men was reduced to a paltry 300 men, much, much less than the number of adversaries they were going to fight and conquer. Long story short, this young man and 300 mere men, not soldiers, 300 mere men defeated 135,000 soldiers. Mere men defeated soldiers. I don't know how good you are at math. I know out there we got the new math now, but 300 is still less than 135,000, correct? Against all odds, right? What's the point here? It's simple. When God sends you on assignment, the odds don't matter. Because in short, the house always wins. Too much credit, i.e. military strength, financial advantages, skill sets, etc. Always return back to the person who has all those things, right? So God wouldn't get the credit in those situations because there's so much that you would attribute to your victory, to your overcoming. At the end of the day, God wants credit for our breakthroughs because he's the one that allows us to break through. But in today's times, we want credit for our breakthroughs. We want credit for our victories. We say, thank you, Lord, but we actually give ourselves the credit for being in the right place at the right time, knowing the right person, networking, having a good friend, learning the skill set. We want credit for every good thing that's happened. I know people that introduced a friend to another friend and they've been married for 40 years. And that person that introduced them is still taking credit for their happy marriage after 40 years. Yes, you introduced them, but they're not married 40 years because of you. If you've ever been married before, you already know that the first 10 years are the most difficult, especially if you're doing it right. No friend can take credit for the victories you achieve in that stretch of time. I don't care what's going on, but real talk. I'm happy to give God the credit for every victory and every great thing that happens in my life. I recognize that even with all my professional degrees, I'm still not smart enough. Even with all my friends, I'm still not insulated enough from what can happen in my life. If I'm the common denominator in any situation, so is my pride and ego, so is my attitude, and so is my flesh. And also, so is my breath, which I don't own or control. That's on loan, too. Who else do you think I can give the credit for my whole life? Think about the shepherd boy, David, who only had a staff, but fought off bears, lions, and wolves. Oh, my. Just to make sure that the sheep he was in charge of, that was also instrumental in his family's financial well-being and future income, I might add. He was in charge of keeping them alive. The odds weren't in his favor. One boy against a pack of wolves, but he persevered. Explain that. Think about the warrior Benaiah, one of the lesser known warriors and success stories in scripture. He jumped into a pit with a lion and came out alive and victorious. Were the odds in his favor? A 500-pound man-eating beast that can leap 30 feet and crush a skull with his teeth should have the odds in his favor, right? But Benaiah slayed the lion. Explain that. The USA beating Russia in the 1980 Winter Olympics was against all odds. Russia was winning gold for more than 15 years and had lost an Olympic in 12 years. Every one of their players were full-time professionals, skilled at what they do. The United States team had amateurs and college players. Against all odds, right? Cassius Clay defeated Sonny Liston in 1964. Largely considered one of the greatest heavyweight boxers of all time. He outweighed, outreached, and he wounded Clay in the eye in the early rounds. And still, Cassius Clay was victorious. Against all odds, right? One of the greatest upsets in NCAA history, where Villanova defeated Georgetown in 1985. I actually remember that game. The Wildcats were underdogs in every way. 8th seed, one of the worst records in the regular season. I'm just ignoring the fact that they knocked off Michigan in the second round and defeated Georgetown. Against all odds, right? Use whatever example you like. The odds don't need to be in your favor for you to fight and for you to stand up and for you to walk in victory. You don't have to have all the advantages they do to win. You can't lose if you never give up. Against all odds, right? We're keeping it all the way short. Enjoy the music. Coach out.
Thanks again for listening to the Call Me Mr. You, the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Please like, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for all of our full-length live episodes. And of course, if you're an audio listener, wherever you enjoy your podcast listening, you can find the Call Me Mr. You, the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. Go change the world. Coach out.